Every day, families with critically ill children face the unthinkable, being far from home while their child receives life-saving medical care. Ronald McDonald House Charities Bay Area steps in to ease this burden, providing no-cost housing, free meals, and comprehensive support services to families whose children are being treated at the Bay Area's leading children's hospitals, including Lucile Packard Children's Hospital Stanford and UCSF Benioff Children's Hospitals in San Francisco and Oakland. But we can't do it alone. Your support, through donations or volunteering, helps families stay close to each other and the expert care they need. Visit rmhcbayarea.org to learn how you can make a lasting impact.
It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
Well, here we go. Yet another hockey game tonight at SAP Center at San Jose. It is the Sharks and the Boston Bruins. 14 straight games without a victory against this hockey team, which is the longest streak currently in the NHL and the longest streak that the Sharks have against any opponent. What is it about the sight of these Boston uniforms that changed the course of a game, even with 5 minutes to play?
You got me. Obviously, Boston Bruins over the last number of years have been very, very talented and one of the best hockey teams in the league. But as far as their dominance in the last 14 games, that's 7 years by our count, right? Seven and a touch or six and a touch because we played them already this year. You would think you were able to find one somewhere. And maybe tonight's the night. When you look at the way the Boston Bruins have been playing lately, get beat by Buffalo, got smoked by the Golden Knights. They've lost their leader in Brad Marchand. He's gone in the trade. Their goaltending hasn't been as good this year as it was last year. That's what happens when you miss training camp. And McAvoy's out because of the Four Nations. So maybe this is their chance. Maybe there's an opportunity for the Sharks, who have been competing hard but not really generating a lot of offense. I was listening to you and Scott Hannon last game at the end on your post-game show on Sharks Radio Network, and you guys were talking about the lack of second chances, the lack of ability to really generate any offensive zone time with the exception of the pole goaltender. The Sharks can do that tonight. They should have a chance to be able to win this hockey game.
One of our keys for the game from Toyota was work through your mistakes. Because you're going to make mistakes. You try to, you know, minimize the mistakes. But when you make the mistakes, you got to work through them and try to survive. That's kind of an alternate version of what Brett Hitikin used to call delay the opportunity defensively. I don't think the Sharks have done quite enough of that. But not bad.
It's not bad. But against the Carolina Hurricanes, you know, it was, you had the feeling it was only a matter of time because of the way they play and how relentless. And we talked about it last morning, Skate, that they have a certain way to play. Their coach demands it. They're a very intense group, very good hockey team. And the Sharks, they did delay for a while, but in the third period, it was just that relentless pressure. The overall aspect I look at from the San Jose Sharks is second and third opportunities, continued pressure in the offensive zone. I don't mind their defensive game. We know what that was going to be. I don't mind the way they're playing. Their breakouts are better, but they don't generate many more than one and dones in the offensive zone. And I don't, you know, we'll talk to the coaches today and talk about that to them. And how do you generate more of that? If we look at a guy who is now coming and smiling at us, a guy whose line was great at that, Mike Ricci, Nicky Sundstrom, Scott Thornton, they were the ultimate keep the puck in the offensive zone, and we need more of that.
But they were also the ultimate at get the game back when you've lost it, too.
Yeah, they really were. You know, I don't know about you, but I really like how the third and fourth lines, quotation marks, are playing.
For me, it's Grundstrom. I think Grundstrom has been excellent the last three or four games he's played. In fact, the one game, we gave him third star of the game because he was so good, and he didn't play the next game.
Yeah.
But now he's back in, and it looks like he's steadily making contributions, and that's good to see.
Grundstrom, Goodrow, Dellandrea, Giles. Zach, I haven't seen enough of quite yet. I love the way those guys are playing. They have what we always look for in a player, identity. You trust them. They go out, they work their tails off, and they try to get things going. Now, if they could get more of that in the offensive zone, certainly that would be something that you want. I think when you're looking at it, I think, you know, Kovalenko is starting to find his way up in the top line. He's got to get more reps in, but
he's hitting a little bit more, which I think helps him.
Which is what they thought he was originally going to be. But when you're in, you're out, you're injured, you're not injured, it's your game goes, you know, into an inconsistent point.
There's something else going on, too. I thought that, and he was one of the stars of the game last game, William Eklund, has really risen his level of play since the trade of Fabian Zetterlin. And I think it's partly because, you know, he went through the emotions of having one of his best friends go. I think that was an experience where it's, welcome to professional hockey, my friend. This is the first time you've really kind of felt that. But the other part of it is he's looking at this young core group of players and he says, you know, I'm older than all these guys, and yet I can be a leader. I can actually be a leader of this group in many respects. And I think he's stepped forward in that department in the last couple games.
He's 22.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. But I think it says a lot about him. You mentioned Zetterlin and also Granlund because he was close to Mikhail as well. And they were very close. They were aligned. And it shows the character and the determination of William Eklund. But also, when we see him at practice, he has become this guy that is a driver of the team, is a leader of this team, because he works so hard. He has worked so hard to get there. And he's not satisfied yet. You know, we see Macklin, we see Will, and they're out there, and they always are. But William is a guy that is not satisfied with his game. But he does create a lot of puck possession. He does drive through the neutral zone. He does get the puck in the offensive zone. He's a big part of the power play. So yeah, when you look at the way that that William has, and really only in his second full year in the National Hockey League, you got to look at William Eklund and be really excited for years 4, 5, 6, 7. You know, once he gets about 300-400 games under his belt, how good is he going to be? And I think he's going to be great.
I agree with you 100%. It's really exciting to see that development. And, of course, you have to keep that in mind with all of the other youthful guys that are on this roster. And speaking of that, I want to talk about a baptism of fire, because you get a baptism of fire whenever you play your first National Hockey League game. Watching Luca Cagnoni step onto the ice right now for the morning skate. He had his first game. He did a lot of really good things. He looked really solid handling the puck, seemed confident on the power play, made some good defensive plays using the laws of geometry and physics to help his lack of size. But I'm going to throw all that out. I want to talk about one thing that happened to him in the first period, and that is they got stuck on the ice. They couldn't change because Carolina was relentlessly pressuring. Luca had a 2-minute and 20-second shift. I think I went back and looked, and I think Vinny Desharnais was on the ice for 3 minutes. Yeah. They couldn't get off, and he is the far defenseman away from the bench. Doug Huda always talks about that being really, really important to have a guy that's that far defenseman have a lot of good endurance. And boy, did he show it. But what about Luca in that situation under such pressure, and he managed to hold his composure?
Well, there's the key word. He's very composed, young man. He didn't panic. And thank goodness he's, you know, as young as he is, because those legs kept him out there.
No kidding.
Under, like you said, a lot of pressure. But again, listening to Scott Hannon, and you talk about him at the end of the game. Scotty, an NHL defenseman, a very good one, a guy who, you know, was a hard guy to play against. He had complimentary things to say about Luka. Did not look out of place, in my opinion. I thought he, like all those things that you talked about, played smart, played well. Does have that offensive gift. Does not lack any confidence, but I thought that long shift that you guys point out was a key point in the fact of, okay, I can handle this. And I think that actually boosted his confidence as you know, early in the game.
I would agree with that 100%. Tonight, of course, we're going to see the addition of a new Sharks player, Lucas Carlson, whom we've seen this season with the San Jose Barracuda, getting over a terrible ACL injury. He's played against the Sharks before, but never at the Tank. He's played when the Sharks were on the road, when he was with Chicago and when he was with Florida. And he's played about 50 NHL games. This is a big moment for him to get back, and you've seen him a lot, too, with the Cuda. Give us your analysis.
I like him. Moves well, moves the puck well. Gets up on the play, good on the power play. When, you know, Luca Cagnoni was out, he was the guy last game. They won 4-0 that game. I think they scored one or two on the power play in that game. He is a smart player. Danny, fans are going to love him. I'm glad he's getting the opportunity, because he's played very well for Johnny McCarthy and his team.
Well, it's going to be really exciting. Cam Lund was signed to a contract, by the way, after an amazing playoff for Northeastern University. They fell short in the semifinal game in double overtime to the eventual champion, Maine. But he has had a tremendous year. He's not going to be here tonight. He's going to be here in the next couple of days, but we'll get to see him. But tonight we've got Lucas Carlson in. Alex Wennberg is a game-time decision, but he's likely to play. And we'll be on the air at 7 o'clock with Scott Hannon on the Sharks Audio Network with San Jose against Boston. So stay tuned. Until then, that's the Morning Skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.